Fran fam, what's going on? Listen, before we start this podcast episode, I have a very, very small favor to ask of each and every single one of you guys. I appreciate the support that all of you have been showing for the podcast up until this point, but we want to try and get these episodes out to as many people as possible. And how we do that on the audio side is by leaving a review and dropping a 5-star rating. So if you've been a consistent listener of the pod, please, before we get this episode started, it only takes a couple of seconds, leave a review. It could be a 2-word, 3-word, 4-word review, or just leave a rating. Do something to get the word out so that we can get the Marvin Francois Show to more listeners moving forward. Outside of that, love you guys, appreciate the support, but without further ado, let's get into this episode.
If you don't have a piece of technology attached to your business in the next couple years, just be ready to lose a lot of revenue and a lot of customers. Let me say that again. If you're just starting off, get a piece of technology attached to your business. If you are watching this and you already are an entrepreneur, no matter what you do, and the reason why people say, Justin, why do you say that? Because we are about to enter into a phase of hyper technology acceleration. That means that technology runs our lives, but it's going to be really intricate into our lives.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Marvin Francois Show, your number one source for all things business, finance, and investing. And today is a very special day because our guest today is an entrepreneur, investor, tech founder, educator, app creator, public speaker, mentor, and artificial intelligence expert extraordinaire. He's the founder of Maestro and apps built with AI, platforms designed to help everyday entrepreneurs turn simple ideas into profitable apps using artificial intelligence. From overcoming difficult times in the late 2000s to navigating years of uncertainty, experimentation, and reinvention, his journey is a masterclass in persistence, perseverance, and purpose personified. And what makes his story different isn't just what he's built, but more importantly, it's who he's building it for. Because whether he's helping non-technical founders launch their first app to start creating consistent cash flow or teaching entrepreneurs how to future-proof their income through technology, his mission remains the same: to help viewers like you learn the framework and systems needed to build a million-dollar app by leveraging the power of AI. And today, he's here to do more of the same. Ladies and gentlemen, from Chicago, Illinois, I'm here with the one, the only, my guy, Mr. Justin Burns. What's going on, family? How are you?
What's up, fam? Good to be here. Yes, I need you to do that intro on my, like, on my channel and everything.
I gotta give you the sound bite. You know what I'm saying? So you can plug it in. Moving forward, you gotta put that on your rider. Every time you do another interview, it's like, if y'all introduce me like this, I'm just go ahead and leave.
Yeah, I'm that, like, you set the standard now. I don't want no basic intros from this point on. I only want that. So
I appreciate it.
But appreciate you being, like, having me here.
Most definitely, man. I'm excited to have you, man. You are, I've known of you for quite some time. So I always knew that this interview was going to happen, and I think the timing is perfect because what you have cut, the industry you've cut your teeth in, it's booming now more than ever. There are a lot of questions that people need a lot of answers to, and who better than to have the man himself? So I'm excited to have you.
Yeah, let's do it.
Before we get into the mustard, it's extremely important. I know who you are, but there are some people, unfortunately, who are watching who don't. So for those who are unfamiliar, let's get them familiar. Who exactly is Justin Burns?
Yeah, so, you know, past all of the fancy titles and everything, man, I always tell people, man, I'm just a regular guy, or I say I'm a boy from the south side of Chicago, right? Mm. And the meaning behind that is so significant because you hear often the associations of what that means when you grow up in a certain environment, right? It means you're not going to be, you know, potentially academic, you know, inclined, right? It means that you may be dead by this age and all these other kind of like misconceptions that we hear. And while I'm not going to say like I was into this lifestyle per se, right? I would just say that I didn't grow up in the best environment, around the best circumstances. I didn't see anything motivational like start your business or that life was like this. I didn't see those things. Mm-hmm. So I had to sort of create that. Mm-hmm. But I always believe that we all have a destiny moment. Many people think that their, you know, circumstances in life in general is set in stone. I don't believe that. And I think as you progress through life, you realize why you went through some of the things you went through. You know, me growing up, my father was a drug addict. You know, my mom worked 3-4 jobs just to keep me and my sister food on the table. Right. But also, I wasn't the smartest guy in school. So, you know, when I was an interesting kind of topic, when people would ask, I always say this, when people ask me, like, what do you want to be? You know, we all had our policemen, firemen. Mm-hmm. I was the guy, like, I was like, when they came to me, I was like, bro, I have no idea if I want to do any of those things. And actually, that was good for me. Actually, that set the tone because it gave me a blank slate where I didn't commit so much time into becoming something that I didn't want to become.
Yeah.
And so when I got out of school, you know, barely by like a hair on my chinny chin, like this small, like barely getting out of high school, which I had to attend night school because I like effed off for a couple years. You know, I finally walked across the stage and then I bounced around from job to job. Worked at Best Buy. I can't believe it's still around. That was like when I was like 16, I worked at Best Buy, got fired from there. And pretty much my friends would make all these jokes like, we're going to see when Justin going to get fired. Like that's pretty bad bet to bet on your homies, right?
Right.
But I just didn't have any purpose, anything. But, you know, I got into sales when I was in my early 20s. I didn't go to college. I just didn't feel good enough to go to college, to be quite frank and be honest with you. So what happened is I met this guy. He came into, I was selling cell phones on the south side of Chicago, right? Can you picture? You probably can't picture
me. I'm trying to imagine it.
Can you imagine like, me like slinging cell?
On a corner with the flip, Motorola, razor, Motorola, yeah.
You know what's so funny? That was what was happening. Remember the sidekicks? If you had a sidekick, you was that guy.
You was on.
Or you was that woman. You was on. Especially if you had a cell phone at that time and you had the clip on the side. Remember, you used to have to rock the clip.
Yeah.
You had to buy the clips. Like, that was like the era that I grew up in. So that was actually one of the best things that happened to me, though. Shout out to my manager, Mike, who took a risk on me because I had, like I said, like if you looked at my resume on paper, I didn't look qualified. But he kind of really saw a lot in me. And so as I was working there, I became really good at sales. And this guy walked in. And he was a really cool dude. And we would always, like, chop it up, really talk. And what ended up happening is he would come in at all types of the day, like times of the day. And I was like, what does this dude do? Like, it don't seem like he coming at lunch. You know, it was like nothing specific. So one day I just asked him. He would come in all the time. I said, what do you do? And he was like, if I told you. And this is 2008, right? So this is almost 20 years ago. I was like, what do you do? He said, man, if I told you, you wouldn't even know what I did. And I was like, this dude must be a drug dealer or something. Like, he's slanging something. Right. It ain't legal. But I figured out why he didn't want to say it out loud. And what he did was, he's like, I sell digital products online. Now imagine telling somebody that in 2008.
It doesn't compute.
It doesn't even calculate.
Yeah.
It doesn't even compute whatsoever. It didn't compute with me because I didn't even know you could sell anything online, right? We barely had internet where I grew up.
Yeah.
And so sitting there, after he told me, I went home and I just couldn't shake what he said. Because I had heard about the, you know, real estate and all the old school stuff. Nothing against those things. But this was something, like, it was the first time in my life that I had heard something that made me sort of like, you know, the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. Where I was like, what is this? Like, what is this? What is he talking about? So anyway, he came in again and I was like, you know, he would come in to pay his bill.
Yeah.
And I came in and I said, hey, man, like, is there any way? It was like the first time where I couldn't sleep. I couldn't, like, this obsession of, like, what does this dude do? It's just something said pursue it. I would say it was, like, intuition told me to pursue it. So I went to him and I said, hey, man, like, how can I learn about, like, what it is you're doing? Like, do I got to go to school, college? Now, this is how naive I was. Marvin, like, I thought you had to go to college for everything. That's how they programmed us. I thought you had to go to college for everything.
Yep.
So, like, is there a school, like, a school of internet or something I could learn this stuff from? He just kind of, like, smirk, laugh. He's like, mama, actually, it's so funny. We have this event coming up. That you can come to, man. Like, you're a cool dude. I'll give you some tickets. And I was like, wait, you can go to an event? Like, again, this is how
naive
I was.
You just learning.
Yeah. And I say that, and I'm going to connect the dots to this story because I think, like, for some of us, we don't understand that we're living in one of the greatest times in history. Because at that time, right, it was so, like, it wasn't even known. So if you knew somebody who did that, it was, like, special, right? Because there was not many people that did it. There weren't many experts that did it at that time.
Yeah.
And so fast forward, I go to this event and I remember they were talking about a lot of stuff. They were talking about digital products, all this stuff. And I remember one line, it was like a one thing that caught my attention. Like I was listening, but I wasn't listening. I was like, you know, kind of in and out. And this guy got on stage and he was like, listen, here's the future of the world. I want you to fast forward 10 years from now. People in Spain, Germany, Africa, all over will be able to buy your products. And there's no limits. There's no borders. There's no, like, you're used to doing business in person and to get, like, connected together. But people will be able to buy your product no matter where they are in the world. Mm. And I just sat up. Like, I sat up for a second. I was like, wait a minute. And I pointed, for real. I was like, I think I look crazy, but I didn't care at that point. I really didn't care.
Right.
I was like, that's my thing. Mm-hmm. That's the thing I'm going to dedicate. Because at that point in my life, I hadn't dedicated to anything because right. I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel any confidence, conviction. Yeah. So I was like, that's the thing right there that I'm going to commit the next decade to. Mm-hmm. And yeah, man, I left that. And you know, I was able to... You know, fail a lot, tried to start it, tried to be connected. Luckily, he allowed for me to help him with some stuff. It wasn't easy. You know, went through a lot of trial and error, failed miserably, almost went bankrupt, house in foreclosure, trying to really be able to start this because I'm the first entrepreneur in my family.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have a roadmap. And also my friends, I didn't know anybody who was an entrepreneur. So I literally started at the very, like, we're talking about ground floor central.
Yeah.
Right? And it was the hardest thing I ever did in my life, but it was also the most liberating. It went through such a transformation of who I was, and I also broke a lot of, I call them chains, right? Mm-hmm. And poverty chains. A lot of things that, mental chains, a lot of things. I went through that process for a reason. And yeah, man, I didn't make any money for about 3 years. Mm. I ended up being fired from that job. The company laid off a lot of people. That's why I tell people, you have to create your future because you don't know when, even if you've been at a job for 20 years, the world always evolves and changes. Mm-hmm. And people wait up until something bad happens to make a change. Mm. They don't make changes based on changing their reality right now. Mm-hmm. And foreseeing, that's what futurism is all about. It's not about you guessing the future. It's about you creating the future.
Yep.
And that's the difference that most people don't do. And so I started to say, okay, I don't care how long it's going to take. Even if I have to suffer my way to success, right, mm-hmm. I'm going to make it. And so it took about 3 years. And then finally, I started to kind of figure things out. I started selling products online, like ebooks. Mm-hmm. And yeah, fast forward, man, I remember breaking my first $3,000 a month. Man, you couldn't tell me nothing. I thought I was drowning in money. And I was like, you know, it was not drowning, but like showering in money. Because when it's the difference between making money from when you're trading time for dollars and then you make money on your own. Mm. When you get that skill set, that's what we call absolute freedom.
Yeah.
See, because people think that they want these fake pieces of paper. Right. They believe, like, if I get these pieces of paper, my life is going to change. No, those are fake pieces of paper. That's not what the value is. Mm-hmm. What people really want is choices, freedom, and fulfillment.
Yeah.
Those are the three things that people want. So through that journey, it really helped me become. And now we have, you know, since then, if you would have told me, if we were sitting together, Marvin, me and you, mm-hmm. we were chopping it up, having some tea, and you would have said, and I'm talking about the 10 year ago, Justin, you would have said, Justin, you're going to have a tech company called Maestro. Justin, you're going to be speaking all over the world. Justin, you're going to have apps built with AI teaching other people how to have their own apps. I would have looked at you sideways like you've lost every single marble in your mind, mm-hmm. right? And so now that just shows you that life is a series of choices mm-hmm. that we all have to make to have different decisions.
That's it. Powerful story. Powerful. Yeah. So as I'm literally visualizing everything in my head, you get to a point where you finally break into the online space after just trying to find your footing in this game of life. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to now connect the dots in how you, because you mentioned your one of your companies, Maestro, which is how I initially found out about mm-hmm. you, right? And we talked about it a little bit off camera, but I originally knew of you as this is the guy that helps people learn how to make profitable courses, mm-hmm. right? And you are crushing it in that respective space. But mm-hmm. then I look up and then now you've taken it to another level where you're showing individuals how to leverage this booming industry of artificial intelligence mm-hmm. to start creating apps. Help me connect the dots here. How did we go from Maestro to what you're doing right now in the artificial intelligence space?
Yeah, so I think that every couple of years, even less, you should be evaluating where things are going and where you are currently. And a lot of people don't do that. They just kind of accept what it is. And even people that I've respected in the space that's been for years, it's like they get hit with this thing called the life of change, because life is always transforming and changing.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm always trying to think, like, the way I think is like, okay, not that I could predict the future, but if I study the trends, here's where things are going. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, also if you're evaluating your own life, like, how is business? How's things? How's, you know, how's like my customers? Like, where are they going? What are they current? What's currently trending? So for me, I've always evolved. And that's why I always tell that story. I've always seen the writing on the walls, and I try to get in front of it as much as I can. So, for example, for the past like 10 years, I was focused on just digital products and courses. But then I started to study the game, and people still sell courses. They're still amazing because people need education outside of school. It's just not as easy as it used to be because, see, back in the, like, about 5-6 years ago, if you had a course, you didn't have a lot of competition. It was the Wild Wild West. Yeah. You can just sell it and say, I'm the expert. And you smile because you know, what I'm saying.
I miss those times.
We'll like, ahead. I miss those times too. Yeah. Let me tell you what I was just telling somebody yesterday. I was like, I wish that I had the brain I had now where I was like, where I was mature and I understood. And that's why we get on these shows. See, that's why I want to talk authenticity, because what I'm saying to you isn't fluff. And the reason why I say that is because the goal of this is to plant seeds in you, who's ever watching this right now, to like, don't delay on the greatest time in history where you can take AI and take an idea and you could beat a market in a week. It used to take us when we were, I don't know if you've been around for, how long you been in the game for?
Five, 6 years.
No. Yeah, 5-6 years, right? So for me, being in the game about almost 15 years or so, you know, it used to be like we used to have to hire like a bunch of developers and expensive people. And just to even get an idea up, it would cost $5,000 plus or thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Now you could take a couple hundred dollars. You could use AI, validate an idea, get it up, create something like an app to be able to, you know, get to market and start making money without having to have a lot of not only just time investment, because it used to take months and months and months to even build this stuff out. Now it could take a couple weeks or even less. So fast forward, what I started to see was I was like, okay, the course industry is changing. And so I also wanted a big challenge, because what happened is I had an agency that I ran, and what we would do is we would write copy, so copywriting, right? So for those who don't know what copywriting is, it's basically the art of like persuasion, what you see on the page that convinces people to buy.
Yeah.
So that comes in the form of emails, and mostly every business or company needs it. So I had an agency, and I landed this guy from a conference that I had attended, and he became really good friends, and he ran a tech company. And it was like, I was burnt out at the time because I was dealing with clients one-on-one. I was like, I need something different. Like, I just need some change. And I remember I just one day asked him, he had a payment software, right? So I was just asking him like, what is this? Like, I'm writing for him, and I'm like, this is fascinating. How did you learn about how to start your own tech company? Did you go to college? Again, naive, right? And he's like, no, I kind of just learned it, but I have development team, all those things. Like, it's very, very difficult, very expensive. So he was like, come to this conference with me, right? So I come to this conference with him, and it's all these tech nerds, and everybody's talking all this stuff. I have no idea what the heck they're saying, right? HTML coding and JavaScript. I'm like, what is these dudes talking about? Like, that it's startup and venture capital. And I'm like, what are these dudes talking about? But I'm intrigued. Again, I'm intrigued. I'm not intimidated. I'm intrigued. See, when you go from, even if when you don't know something, a mind that is always willing to grow is intrigued by something, not intimidated by something. If you're intimidated by something, that's the ego. If you're intrigued by something that you don't understand it, that gives you room to learn it, right? So that's why I tell people, don't be intimidated by AI. Embrace it, learn it, so that you create a better future. Don't be intimidated by, we talk about apps as we progress through the conversation. Don't be intimidated, like, be intrigued. So I was intrigued. I was a little bit intimidated, but I was intrigued. So I went home and I called him and I said, listen, I think I want to build a tech company. And he kind of laughs a little bit. But like in a, he's like, bro, it's going to take years. And I'm just like, well, I got a proposition for you, right? I said, how about this? How about I make you an offer that you can't refuse, you know, Godfather style, make you an offer that you can't refuse. And he's like, what is it? I said, well, I've successfully helped you written a lot of success, like copying and made you a lot of money. So the next few months, I'm going to basically offer to you to write for you for free in exchange for you teaching me the tech game. Mm. That's what it is. And he was like, people, what? Nobody's offered me something like that. And I said, because I want to, I felt this. This was about, now mind you, this is about 8 years ago.
Yeah.
So you really had to have a lot of resources because a developer was $10,000 a month. And so, I mean, even a decent one, you can get one overseas maybe for $3,000 or $4,000. That's still a lot.
Yeah.
Imagine you need two or three. The average person can't, if you have an idea and say you're trying to build a mobile app or a web app, you typically had to go through a lot, which is what a lot of people go through now.
Yeah.
And so fast forward, I didn't know what idea I wanted to build. And so, but I realized like the idea I had was the problems I was having because I was like, oh, wait a second. As a copywriter, they need emails and Facebook ads and all these different principles, webinars. So people needed like multitude of copies. And at the time, there wasn't a solution. Mm. So I came to him with this idea. I said, yo, I got this perfect idea for you. And he was like, what is it? And I said, what if there was a way? This is before AI, by the way, right? So your boy been ahead of the game.
You understand?
So I was like, what if there was a thing that you can answer some questions and then it spit out your emails, your sales pages, everything for you in one platform. Mm-hmm. He was like, how are you going to build something like that? I was like, I don't know, but I got the idea. And because you sound like you intrigued, it sounds like it's going to be a good idea.
Right.
So I mapped it out. I went through the traditional, hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Mm-hmm. Because when you start applying things, that's where people quit and they give up. Mm-hmm. And because the complexity increases, right? So first thing I did was try to find a developer. Mm-hmm. That was hard, mm-hmm. right? Because you don't know, because everybody, all these people are expensive. Then you needed a designer to design out, to map out all the screens, to map out how the app is going to look, right? Then I had no idea, what the heck I like just a fish out of water, yo.
Yeah.
Just completely just lost. But I just kept going, man. I'm about $10,000 into this idea, taking all my profits, throwing it into this idea. Didn't know what I was doing. And about maybe 4 or 5 months, the guy started mentoring me, helping me. About 4 or 5 months later, ScriptEngage was born, the product, my first product. This is about 2015.
Okay.
And we got our first prototype.
There you go.
Right? So I felt good. I finally made it to there. And I thought that was it. I was like, I've made it. Because that's what most people do. They put so much time into developing the product.
Right.
That now when it comes to promote it, it was like, oh, that's a whole nother type of thing. So I started kind of like trying to promote it. And we got like 5 sales in about 3 months. Now, that ain't going to pay nobody. Listen. That ain't going to pay
nobody. Now when you spend all the money on a developer, you got to get that back.
Yeah. I think people want to estimate how expensive sometimes business could be at times.
Yeah.
And I'm going to connect the dots in a second. But after I went through that, it took me about 3 or 4 or 5 months to really make any money. And then I figured out that I was doing things not with the right system. Mm. Because I think it's so easy for us to say something doesn't work versus right now, I don't have the right system or strategy.
Yeah.
So that's also a different state of thinking and a different state of mind. So what ended up happening is I went back to the drawing board and said, where did I go wrong in this connection? I realized I was so focused on the product that I forgot about the other parts of the system. Mm. And after that, we relaunched everything. And then ScriptEngage went from 0 customers, 5 customers to 1,000 to 5,000. And we ended up having 10,000 people on that product. Mm. And that changed the trajectory. I call it quantum leaping, right? Mm. Quantum leaping is a concept that many people don't talk about. And it's a spiritual concept. But in the simplicity of quantum leaping is there's another reality that exists, and based on different actions that you take, that reality comes into the present, right? The simplicity of that principle. And so for me, now I'm like, now I got it. Mm-hmm. Now I got it. And so fast forward, we sold that company to an investor, and then we ended up, I ended up having the idea to create Maestro. And I went through that that process all over again, which was terrible starting over. And it was a long process, and Maestro ended up, I went through blood, sweat, and tears, almost went bankrupt a few times with Maestro. Many people didn't support me. There was so many failures, even people I thought, you know, like really was going to help, didn't help. A lot of people that what we were building, they didn't also understand technology. So I was in, like I said, another fish out of water, because that was different than the tool I built. The tool I built was like a tool. This one is like a platform,
right,
which is completely different. No investors. But like I say, man, reason why I tell people we're living in one of the greatest times in history, because now I could have saved myself $1 million because I spent $1 million in development cost and also designer cost. Yeah, I know that hurt your heart. Listen, it hurt my heart today.
And your pockets.
And my pockets.
And your pockets.
In my pockets. Yeah, I spent $1 million. People think I can show you the proof. I spent $1 million developing that tool. And fast forward to today, if I would have waited 5 or 6, 7 years, AI now has the ability to create a prototype in a couple of days. So, and not to say you can't completely replicate Maestro, because there's a couple things, but I would just say, man, I tell people, man, don't overthink things these days. Like, learn the systems, learn the processes, learn the strategies, and learn how to create wealth today. That's always my motto.
Well, listen, I don't know about the rest of the audience, but I'm going to speak for myself. I ain't got $1 million to lose, but I got a lot of time to use. And I want to use that time to pretty much learn from your experiences and your mistakes and see how I can leverage AI to where I don't have to bump my head as many times as you did if I want to go ahead and build the app. So for somebody that would come to you and say like, all right, Justin, I'm hearing all this buzz, but I want to get it straight from the source. I'm starting from ground zero. If I want to leverage artificial intelligence to make an app, how do I even get started?
Yeah. So let's go into like some, I love to talk about tangibles.
Let's do it.
Cause I know a lot of people got fluff city, but let's actually, like, I want you guys to take some of this and really be able to take action on it. So step one is, I tell people this all the time, you have to get over ideation. This is where most people get stuck, is do I have the right idea? Right. That's always everybody's hang up. But see, with AI, it's so much easier to do ideation. So the first thing that you have to do is have an idea.
Yep.
Well, here's the first thing that you do. Number one is you can use ChatGPT. I like to use it. So everybody knows about ChatGPT, right? But for the sake that you are barely getting started, there's ChatGPT. And there's really, like, it's come down to, there's a lot of tools, but I like to say the two biggest players on the block is Claude, which is Anthropic, made by Anthropic, and also there's ChatGPT. I personally like Claude.
Okay.
Because I believe that Claude has a better thinking system and I get better outputs in Claude. So the first thing that you could do is I want you to assess where you are now, your passions, all those things. People said passions don't pay. I don't believe that. I believe, because I was saying this yesterday, I believe that you have to ask yourself two or three questions before you proceed on an idea.
Okay.
Number one, what is your passions? Because when you have a passion or you're connected, and passion doesn't mean that you like something. Passion means you might be connected to something. It could be music. It can be, there's even things that I'm passionate about that I might in the future do something around. For example, you know, we have a spiritual platform, right? We have, and that's connected to my passion for personal growth. Well, back in the day, I wasn't necessarily like, oh, I'm passionate right now. But as time progressed, my passion increased. So now we have a platform that we build an app where people can do meditation, right? Because that's my, I don't just want to be driven by money. Money is cool, but when you get to a certain point where you know how to make money, you're going to then get to a stage in your life where, what am I here to do? And it sounds all like motivational, but it's true. People get, and this is where burnout comes from. Burnout doesn't come from you working too hard. Burnout comes from when you are not connected to something deeper than the reality that you see in front of you, right? So step one is you need to say, okay, what are some of the passions? I want you to write that down. I want you to think about, what are some of the passions I have? But in order to proceed with the next step, you have to say, here's my passions. Okay, cool. Next, am I willing to commit 2 to 3 years to this idea? Two to 4 years. Let's just say 2 to 4 years. Because you have to be able to commit that time and be invested in it. because you have to put energy into it. Now, there's easier ways to do it. It used to be, I remember you probably heard this, right? It'd be like, it takes 10 years to become an overnight success.
All the time.
Right? AI and all the tools now, you don't need to take 10 years. But mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie to you and say, oh, it's going to take 6 months. It might take a couple years.
Right.
It just depends on how further you are.
Yeah.
Right? So one, you need to evaluate that. Then what I would do, I would literally take some of those and put them into something like Claude and say, what are the next, let's just say, 3 to 5 trending topics around this that I can build a digital business around? You want to put that exact prompt in there. What are the trending? Because you don't want something that was like really, really popular years and years and years ago. This is where people make mistakes. You want things that people are having conversation about. Now, it could be real estate, whatever it is, or it could be, like for me, it's technology. Like right now, for example, AI is trending, mm-hmm. right? Things like cryptocurrency, digital currency is trending. These are trending industries. So you want to take a passion. You could take a passion. You can niche it down. I always tell people the riches are in the niches. Mm-hmm. See, if I were, and people say, don't go after competitive spaces. That's not true either. See, if you listen to people, because if people tell you, don't go after competition, I tell people, like, what do you mean don't go after competition? That's where all the money is being made. See, the difference is you need to think differently and approach it differently. So for me, if it's trending, now the next step is we need to find out what is called, I call it the bridging the gap opportunity. You probably heard that saying. It's called bridging the gap. Bridging the gap is basically saying what, or let's say if we take an existing idea, right? Let's say, let's give an example. Let's say, for example, you take an existing idea that's already out there and you can do one or two things, right? I don't believe that people should be, especially if you're just starting off, whatever it is, I don't believe that you should be trying to start some crazy new idea. That's what people get wrong. They're like, I'm going to create something that nobody in the world has ever heard of. Mm-hmm. That's probably few in between lines. Now, I'm not saying there's going to be some new stuff that the world, new technology that the world hasn't seen.
Yeah,
I believe that if you're just getting started, your competitive advantage should be, all right, let me see what I'm passionate about. Let me run this to ChatGPT or Claude. Let me figure out. Now, let me make a choice based on this. Now, what we do is we keep progressing and we say, all right, let me see who's out there. Well, let me do some competitive analysis. You could do this in AI in literally 5 minutes. We used to have to actually go and pay thousands of dollars for competitive analysis reports. Mm. Now AI runs this competitive analysis report for you in 5 minutes or less. Mm. Okay. So I could say, go out there and look at the competition and tell me what they're doing right and wrong. And it will actually tell you what it's doing right and wrong. Mm. So let's say if I'm trying to create, say I'm going after now, We could back up for a second, because apps are not the only way to make money online with AI. You know, you have digital courses and digital products and ebooks and stuff. The reason why I tell people I'm a believer in technology and why my story is so connected around apps is because now you have different tools where now you could take a simple prompt and now you have coding tools that will actually code your idea in a few days, which is like, this stuff did not exist years ago.
Yeah.
So like now you have tools, like some of the ones I recommend are like Lovable, mm-hmm. right? So Lovable is for beginners, right? So you can literally, once you kind of get your idea, you could take that idea and put it into something like Lovable, in which it will turn it into a web app. Let me give you guys some stats on why I tell you this is one of the best trending ways to start a business. The average person, not 1 out of 10, usually stats go into 1 out of 10. Here's what it is. The average person has 6 to 8 apps that they use on a daily basis. Okay. Now, they may not use it all at the same time, but they've bought it, they've purchased it in the last 6 months, 6 to 8 apps. That's a web app, mobile app, right? Think about how many web apps are on your phone that you purchase.
Boy.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, you got an Apple, right? Probably an Apple guy. You're a straight up guy. You seem like an Apple guy. No diss to the Android people.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? So like, think about you got your Apple, right? You've purchased actual apps on mm-hmm. that phone, right? Because because you have a problem, technology is the thing that runs our lives.
Yeah.
Right? Software runs, I always tell people, software runs the world, right? And technology is only going to get more. There's going to be more complexity to it. But now the simplicity is the average person, doesn't matter what background you have, no matter where you're starting off, you could take those concepts and you could say, all right, What is this competitor doing wrong? Like, so sometimes, and this will give you guys some gems, you can be anyone, and even companies that have $100 million in funding, because a lot of tech companies do. It doesn't matter. You can use your mind and AI combined together to actually be a get a step ahead. So you take that and you say, maybe let's just give you examples. Maybe you see an idea. Let's use an example. Like, there's a lady, she started a company in the legal space. So she was an attorney, right? Here's what she did. There was a company that they had an AI company that was a legal assistant.
Okay.
So all it did was attorneys could basically, instead of going to all these different attorneys and saying, what should I do in this case? All they did was upload the files into this AI generated app. And it tells you everything of how to beat the case, all the things, giving you tips. Yeah. That company recently was acquired for almost $500 million. And all it was, like,
You don't just say a number like that. And just, you ain't say 50 million, right? You said 500. Okay.
500 million.
Half a
billion. Half a billy.
Go
on. Half a billy. And all it was, and watch this, this tool was connected to OpenAI, meaning it was using OpenAI to analyze the data. It was like what we call a wrapper. So it was sitting on top of OpenAI, which is easy enough to do that. Because I tell people all the time, like, it's not about the tools or how much money you have. It's how you think outside the box. Because, see, people think that they have to have something so complex.
Yeah.
But it's not about that. It's about, does it solve a problem that people are having? And you might be surprised at how many problems are actually not being solved. And technology is the gateway to be able to solve those problems. So now, now she solved that problem, and now it's probably a competitive space. Well, it doesn't mean that there's not money in it. Now, imagine taking that same idea, and what if you went into and you niched it down to, like, divorce attorneys now? You feel where we're going?
You talking.
We're getting spicy.
Go ahead.
Imagine if I took that same concept now that's painful for somebody else, and I start going, I'm going to take the same tool, and now this tool is specialized for divorce attorneys. Imagine if I took that same concept and I also went, this is for, different parts of the law.
Right.
Right. Now that makes me not have any more competition. And if I were to just take that idea and use something like a Lovable, there's tools like Replit and other tools out there. We even are developing a tool called Tap App, which is also, it'll create mobile apps for you just with a prompt, right? So many different things, but that's what I would do.
Interesting. This is good. Immediately I started thinking about, as I'm like, okay, what about for my, so for example, I'm in the credit and funding space, right? When you started talking about, like, apps that could be changed, the first app my mind went to for people that, like, people that we serve is, like, Credit Karma. So, like, for example, with Credit Karma, I started thinking about, like, all right, with an app like that, what are some of the problems that exist there, where if I wanted to create, like, use AI to create a version of it that's better, it's better. So, like, one big problem with an app like Credit Karma is that you sync your personal finance, your social and everything else, it pulls your report, and it recommends cards to you, and it says that these are cards that, like, you're good, are best fit for you. But what people don't know is that on the back end with Credit Karma, they actually have, like, sponsorship deals with these companies. So they're falsely advertising cards that aren't actually good. People are applying again and they don't figure out why.
Right.
What if I just took everything that Credit Karma does, and the one difference is that, like, my app actually does give you the cards that you could apply for that are best fit for your situation. I just made one little tweet. I made a little tweak. Yep. Now they call in, ring ring, $100 million exit. we having a conversation. So that's pretty much what you're telling people that they could do. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Just find what's already working, make a little tweak or niche down a bit, and you're in the money.
You don't have to. People think that they need this crazy grand idea that doesn't exist.
Okay.
What you don't realize is that you're stepping over millions to get to pennies.
Ooh.
Right. And I say that. Because it's going to take you so long to try to get this grand new idea. And I'm not discouraging people, because there's going to be needed new things in the future of ingenuity, where we're going, where we're stepping into robotics, AI, energy sector, biotech, so many different technology sectors that are going to have new technology. But for me, if I was starting off and I was like, listen, like, if I want to go into a space, and I'm talking about a few months instead of a few years, like you just talked about, let's even go deeper on the credit space. Like, there's so many problems with credit right now. I'm talking about even with me, we're not even just talking about finding the credit cards. We're talking about like, listen, I'm going to just give y'all some game, especially if you're in the credit space watching this or financial space. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine if you had a tool. I'm going to give you this too, but you might want to take this.
I'm going to patent it, then drop the episode.
Then you're going to drop. Yeah. Let me not give you too much so that you don't drop. Then you patent it first, then we got to wait to drop the episode. No. Let me not.
We could just say the idea. I'm listening, but I'm not listening. Go ahead. Say what it is.
So think about this, right?
Talk to me.
Think about, like, when you think about also what other people need, mm-hmm. then you start exploring. That's where some people say, now we're kind of cooking more with, okay, Justin, what goes into my app? What are some of the features? Well, the features are the problem that people have mm-hmm. around the industry that you're going into. For example, let's just say I'm in the credit space. Well, if I'm credit, I'm typically I'm looking for something financially that can help me further my financial. Not always, but for the most part.
Right.
If a person wants to fix their credit, they are at least making decisions to make their financial situation better.
Yep.
So you think, what do other people need? What are some of the challenges in the financial space? Well, let's think about it. Does that person, if that person is trying to be better financially, do they have wills? Do they have trusts?
Wow.
Do they have different things that could connect them? So if I were to have an app that incorporated that as a suite, just imagine how much more money I would make.
Yeah.
Because now you're solving multiple problems. But now, so there's so many different ways to encompass that, right? Or instead of it finding just different offers, imagine if a person... There's so many things you could do with this. You could say, here are only Black-owned companies that, you know, get funding from, or whatever, wherever you're watching this, you could do it in so many different ways.
Yeah.
So what I tell people is, when people hear me say you're living in one of the greatest times in history, they say, Justin, like, you're just hyping it up. I'm like, no, listen to me. Your parents, my parents, didn't have access to all of this game.
Yep.
They didn't have access to be able to do this. And I've watched so many people, even in our programs and around me, they'd be like, Justin, it's not that simple. I saw one comment. I usually don't watch a lot of comments, but it was one comment that said, he's making it simple. I was like, no, you're making it hard. That's the difference. Because it's like telling somebody, let's just say, for example, you try to tell somebody who has 20 years, if somebody has 10, 20 years of experience and they are a thinker, they probably have thought about strategies that you haven't thought about.
Yep.
So that's why even I'm open when somebody who's even in the industry, because that's where my mind works. I'm like, well, let me be open to this, because maybe that person may have a better prompt, which we could talk about next. Because all of this, see, and that's what AI is about. Whether you're building an app, whether you are building a digital product, whatever you're building, it's not what you say, but how you say it. Remember, Mama used to say that? Now it's becoming so true more than ever.
Yeah.
It's like, what my mama was saying was, it's not what you say, but how you say it.
Yeah.
Because that's how, you know, if you could go into a business deal, you could blow up the business deal by what you say. Or you can go into a business deal and make money and close the deal. It's all dependent. So AI is about how you instruct it. The way that you need to use AI, you don't use AI in a sense of you allowing it to control you. For example, when you understand the right protocols and the right strategies of being more specific about what you want, that's how you're going to get the best output.
Let's dive a little bit more into that, because you mentioned, even for myself, from someone who's still familiarizing himself with AI, the go-to tool everybody knows about is like ChatGPT, right? When it comes to diving deeper into the space to build applications, are there other tools? I think I heard you mention one. I think Lovable. Yeah, you mentioned one there. Are there other tools that we should be looking into when it comes to positioning ourselves to dive deeper into the space? And if so, what are those tools?
Yeah, so if you are trying to build something, say like you're trying to build an app, right? There's two types. So there's about three types of apps that I tell people that are more common. Because see, when people think about apps, they think about phone apps.
Yeah.
That's the wrong way to view it. Apps are more, because it stands for application. Even I have this debate with some tech people. They're like, applications are this. And I'm like, listen, again, we're debating the wrong things, because an application can be on your computer, can be on your phone. So there's three types. One is web applications. Let's just break it down. So web applications is stuff that we use, like Slack, for example. People often hear me talk about, and you're familiar with Slack, everybody's familiar with Slack. What a lot of people don't know is that Slack was a different tool at first. It wasn't even the original tool.
Okay.
Right? So they transformed that into Slack. And then recently, about a couple of years ago, they sold to Salesforce for $27 billion with a B. So
every time I hear these numbers, my body just got hot.
I don't think people realize how big tech is.
Yeah.
And that's my message, especially to people who don't think that I can't compete in that. Yeah, you used to didn't be able to compete in it. Now the game has changed.
Yeah.
And so now there's a window of time where the playing field has been leveled.
Yeah.
Where your only resistance is the things that you put in your mind and say what you can and cannot do.
Yeah.
So for me, it's crazy. The tech industry is not, it's not in the billions, it's in the trillions.
Mm.
And it's only going to keep growing. It grows 15 to 20% year over year, right? And there's still so many problems that haven't been solved yet. So,
you're talking about
some
Slack?
Slack. So, yeah. Slack is literally $27 billion. So, that's a web app, right? You have web applications that people use, which is just they use it on their computer.
Yeah.
Then you have mobile apps. So, mobile apps, we already know about that. Like, those are just your, not just your games, but also, by the way, you can create games too, by the way. There's so many different things you can create when it comes to this stuff. You also, the last one, you had tools. Those are just simple tools. Like, think about, tools are not necessarily deep applications with back-end infrastructure and storage and all that. Tools are more like really simple things. Like, for example, right? Tools can be described. There's a tool called, I think it's like simplepdftool.com or something like that. I think like simple PDF, something like that. You know what I'm talking about. So you got a PDF, and let's just say you want to delete a page. How hard is it to delete a page or delete a text?
If you don't got the right app, it ain't happening.
It ain't happening.
Yeah.
And most people need it, right? So I need to sign this or I need something on this. Well, a simple tool was created called Simple PDF.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what it does is that it allows you to highlight things in the PDF, allows you to remove pages, allows you to do all that. That tool does about $300,000 a month in revenue just from a simple tool that probably didn't take a long time to create. So again, we overanalyze and we overthink the simplicity of solving problems with technology. And that's the issue. So some tools that I use, I like Lovable. You know, there's Replit. There's also a company.
Say it again.
A Replit. So R-E-P-L-I-T.
Okay.
There's different tools like Bolt. There's also like Base 44. So these are tools. It's not like one or two where you're just so early on. You know, like there's tools that you can go, and they're not complex at all. Okay. You can literally, all you got to do is prompt it. So you go in there and say, I want to build. That's why you have to learn how to do the strategies that I'm teaching, because then you go in there, and the more specific that you are about what you want it to do, what you want your app to do, what features you want, you know, the basis of that, that's what is going to get you the greatest output. Or if you're building a mobile app, shameless plug, you can go to tapapp.ai, which is our mobile tool that may be released by the time of this episode. But that's just where you can also just prompt, add in a prompt, and it will also spit out your entire mobile app, man. So you could do that in the afternoon.
Mm.
So you can't do that in the afternoon. Listen, I can give you so many examples of apps that are generating hundreds of thousands of dollars a month just from simply a couple days of work with these tools.
One other thing you talked about within the tools is you mentioned the quote, it's not about what you say, it's about how you say it, which is prompting. It's very funny to me because you'll see people who will start leveraging AI tools and they'll go to platforms like a ChatGPT and they're just like, hey, make me $1 million business plan. No context, no nothing. It's just like, just simple statements. Just like, yo, AI don't work. It's just like, no, you don't know how to work it.
Exactly.
Yep. With your expertise and experience, talk about the power when we're diving deeper into this industry, whether it's for apps or just AI in general, understanding how to prompt the right way so that we can leverage AI and all that comes with it.
Yeah, so it's exactly what you said. It's like not what you say, but how you say it. It's more about the more specific that you are, and being descriptive about what you want to build is the greatest way to get certain output. Mm-hmm. For example, give you an example. What most people do is they type in the, like when you go to ChatGPT, for example, for the sake of simplicity, you go there and you say, I want a, let's just say, let's give an example. Let's say we're creating even a business plan app. Let's just say that. Most people will go, help me create a business plan app. That's it. Dot, enter.
And that's it.
And then now they have to, then it takes them different because now the AI is trying to, it understands, but now the C systems are trying to analyze what you're putting together. So now the person is there, but they're not getting, so they're getting frustrated. So then their first output might be not so great. Well, I have a different approach that I'm going to give to you guys. Here's what it is. So in software, in apps, in AI apps, in software, there's something called a PRD, which is called a product requirements document. Don't worry, I'm gonna break it down. Product requirements document, most people, when they have an idea for a software app, whatever it is, even if you're just doing a basic website, you should have a product requirements document before you hire anybody.
Yeah.
Because what it does is it explains what your project is about. Here's what I wanted to do. Here's what the app does. Here's what the website does. Here's the features. Here's what I want the branding colors to be. So imagine who's going to get a better output. If I go to say ChatGPT or Lovable, whatever it is, and I say, all right, I want you to build me a business plan app. Mm-hmm. Or who's going to get a better app if I go, hey, I want you to build me a business plan app that helps people solve this great challenge of not knowing how to get funding because of their business app, because of their business plan. Mm-hmm. They struggle with X, Y, and Z. And some of the greatest things that they have, they're frustrated, they're stressed out because they want to be able to have a business plan without having to spend thousands of dollars. Here's what this solves exactly. It solves the challenge of them staying up at night, them not getting funding because they don't have a funding business plan. And we want to help them be able to do that. And I also want to have this sort of expert, you know, feel to it. This amazing kind of like elegant feel that has the color scheme of blue and gold and silver. Who's going to get a better output, the first one or the second one?
Second one.
The second one all day. Why? Because it's really specific and it gives AI context about exactly what you want. And so you have to be more specific if you want AI to do what you want it to do.
Mm. We also talked about, I mean, we threw a lot of big numbers around here, multi-million, half mm-hmm. a billion, billion-dollar exits. Mm-hmm. When it comes to monetizing an app that we've created, is the only way that we make money after the app is done and then from there we sell it to whoever? Or are there ways to where once our app is made, what are some of the different ways that we can monetize from it once it's done?
Oh, let's go down this rabbit hole.
This will be
saucy. So here's what I tell people, right? So one of the things I love about technology, so you often hear this term like multiple streams of income, right? Everybody knows it. There's a misconception about multiple streams of income, which is that majority of people don't understand, like Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos started in one stream, which is he started in books. Mm-hmm. And then Amazon expanded to what it is today, which is everything. Most people that you see that are successful, they started just like somebody like Elon Musk started with PayPal. And then now you see SpaceX and all these other things. So the greatest thing that I always tell people, multiple streams of income, there's nothing wrong with having it. It's just the fact that you want to make one work. And here's the challenge. When you start trying to do multiple streams of income that had nothing to do with the first one, especially if you're just starting off or if you haven't gotten the results. So if you're hitting brick wall with multiple streams of income, here's what I tell people. It's mainly because there's only so much. And here's just something like logical to consider. You only have so much energy to exude. And so if you're trying to understand five different industries at one time, do mm-hmm. you think that you're going to get great output? If you're a logical person, you will say no. Now, I'm not saying don't do multiple streams of income. What I'm saying is that I have a better thing with technology. I call it the multiple streams of software.
Okay.
Right? Multiple streams of software, right? Now, here's the different ways. So now we're in one industry, mm-hmm. and now we're making money from four or five different ways. So the first way I make money from apps and software and AI is recurring revenue, right? That's where people pay every month. I mean, everybody who's watching this probably at one point in time, or you still are, because like I say, the average person does this, you pay every month to get access like to software. What would you say just some for some interactional here, what would you say? How much do if you want to disclose?
Yeah, for sure.
How much do you pay per month in different software tools?
Roughly, depending on the tool, it could be anywhere between like $10 on the low end to upwards of like $25 on the high end, and that's somewhere in that range.
How many apps do you think you're subscribed to right now?
Right now, boy. I'm somewhere in that 20 between all of them. It's cumulatively, it's probably anywhere between like 25 to 75 roughly.
Yeah, 25. I'm gonna need you to figure that out.
Yeah. Listen, man,
that's the average person though, right? That's it. And now see, 6 and 8 is conservative. Mm-hmm. Most people are actually like, especially if you're an entrepreneur, you probably are in the plus 10 at ease. Like me, and I run Maestro, which means I need apps on top of apps. Yeah. So my software bill is in the thousands per month. Yeah. So, you know, so I said all that to say that's one way. What a lot of people don't know though is that recurring is only one element. Like from software, you can make, like I say, a simple PDF. They're not charging you $10 a month. They're charging you maybe a couple bucks for each transaction.
Yeah.
But for that, that is about volume. So, for example, if I got 1,000 people who have a PDF problem every day, I'm making, that's why when people hear those numbers, they say, Justin, that sounds crazy. And I said, well, you're on the internet. It's not crazy if you can have a problem that solves, solves a $1 million problem. Like, if you think about it, right? If you think about it, think about, are there 1,000 people who have PDF problems? No, there's millions of people that have those PDF problems. So recurring is one. Right. But you can also have one time where you charge only a one time for that. Also, the second way to make money from multiple streams of software is affiliate income. Mm. So most people in software, they're so like, I'm not going to refer people to this. Well, let me just tell you, that's the greatest way to miss out on money. Because if I tell people this, if they don't buy from you, they're going to buy from somebody else. So you can say, I don't offer it. For me, for example, with Maestro, give me an example. With Maestro, we're like a membership platform. Right. But we didn't go down the funnel builder part because we were just like, that's just too much. Now people say, Justin, you're missing out. You know, you can build a funnel builder. I said, no, why don't I just focus on what I do well?
Yeah.
Which is just membership and storing videos. Now, what I did was I ended up having a partner that I referred out because so many people were hitting up our support desk like, we need a funnel builder. Are you guys going to ever become a funnel builder? And I'm like telling my team, that's not an interest of ours. Now what I do is now I refer people to them, and that created
referral commission.
Yeah, referring commission for me. So that's number two. Number three is licensing in software. So licensing is just the ability to, you can have corporations that want your software that they just say, hey, can I buy a license for each of my employees or each of my staff or each of whatever it is, the same software. You can do that for. Licensing also looks like you can do something called white labeling your software to this. So if you ever heard of a company called Go High Level.
Yeah, of course.
Most people don't understand they're a $1 billion company from white labeling their product, meaning they allow other people to use their product. They still own the product, but now your product is so good that you license it to other companies to use at a certain point. Now, mind you, have I went outside my industry? Mm-mm. Have I went outside my software or what I'm doing?
No.
No, I've just leveraged three ways, or even we could just say even three or four ways, people to leverage and power to keep creating profit for my tech company. And you'd be surprised at how these the companies that get into the millions of dollars, billions of dollars tech, they're usually leveraging three of those in that way.
Boy, I might. If y'all go to my website after this, y'all see I'm not doing funding no more, it's this man's fault. He did it. I done moved over to the tech space. If you see me in Silicon Valley with my feet up, sitting on something night, hey, it was Justin.
Listen, and that'll be a good thing. And I'll say this too. If you don't have a piece of technology attached to your business in the next couple of years, just be ready to lose a lot of revenue and a lot of customers. Let me say that again. If you don't have a piece of technology, no, I don't care what you, if whatever industry, if you're just starting off, get a piece of technology attached to your business. If you are watching this and you already are an entrepreneur, no matter what you do, like, and the reason why people say, Justin, why do you say that? Because we are about to enter into a phase of hyper technology acceleration. Mm. That means that, yes, technology runs our lives, but it's going to be really intricate into our lives.
Yeah.
And so if you're a business owner and you're wondering if your industry is trending down, then allow, like, you don't have to change people's behavior. They're already accustomed to using technology. You just said you're using 10 to 20 pieces a month, right? Or, you know, you said 75, but like the average person is there, like the average person is consumed with technology. Mm-hmm. And say, Justin, that's dangerous. Listen, get over it. Mm-hmm. You are not, as people say, Justin, that's dangerous. AI, robotics. That is what they want you to do. They want you to fear things instead of creating them. Yeah. They want you to be a consumer of technology instead of creator. Hmm. That's what I'm trying to get people's into people's heads. It's like, you know, it's like you, it's like the similar to you complaining about cars being created when you were riding on horses.
Yeah, yeah. And they now look.
They didn't care about that, yeah. Right? Or the industrial age where mm-hmm. factory jobs were shipped overseas, right? They don't care about how you feel. So you have one or two options if you want to break the cycle, which is what I decided to do. You have one or two options. One, you can become still be a consumer or you could be a producer. Mm-hmm. I don't know about anybody here. I choose to be a producer. I choose to be someone that's creating technology instead of consuming it. And that's why I'm in multiple sectors. That's why I'm in the spiritual space. That's why I have apps in, you know, in the create mobile technology. It's why we still have Maestro. We're revamping that and we're getting ready for the next generation of that being an open marketplace. So yeah, be a creator instead of a consumer.
Man, this is one of those episodes. My mind is already on part two and three because I got questions. I haven't even got to. Now you creating questions on top of the questions. I'm like, this thing is, it's so simple, but at the same time so profound. And to your point, we are in, if I'm hearing what you're saying correctly, we are in the golden age, if you will, when it comes to what's happening right now in artificial intelligence, which is why for me, it was so important to be able to have you on here.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about where this industry is going. I'm very happy we were able to have this conversation. I know we got to get you out of here. Before we do, I know that you have a lot going on right now where you're essentially helping individuals learn how to navigate into this space. Mm-hmm. Your camera here, let the people know where they can find you, what you have going on. But more importantly, if somebody is interested in diving deeper into this space, how they can get started.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, man. So throw a part two if you ain't ready.
I'm ready. I'm ready. Right? We got to do
it. I just got to come bring my jacket out here because it's a little cold, a little nippy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But no, man. And we can definitely talk about, you know, I just want everybody to understand, like, there's so many, like, and there's so much opportunity.
Yeah.
And the golden age is here.
Yeah.
And you might say, Justin, how is that? I say, listen, the energy sector is about to be disrupted.
Yeah.
The biotech, which is the health sector. Oh, that's already being disrupted where sickness is, I'm not going to say it's not going to be a thing of the past right 100% now, mm-hmm. but over the next 7 to 10 years, I can guarantee you that they're going to be able to scan your body and tell you everything that's wrong with your body. That's coming. AI is also its own industry. Apps is its own industry. Robotics, oh my goodness, like that's in the next 5 years or so, there's going to be more robots probably than humans. Mm. So we're in the golden age. So I tell people, don't mess this up. Mm. If you're watching this at any specific time, don't mess it up. Go all in, learn the strategies, which we can help you to do, way we can do that. We host a summit called Apps Built with AI. It's a fun summit. People join it. They love it. We usually have different experts, but mainly it's me teaching about this whole psychology. You know, we'll probably have a link. And essentially, it teaches you over 2 or 3 days how to basically take an idea, turn it into a profitable app, but also how to actually market and how to put yourself out there and how to actually find your customers so that you can go to market really, really fast. And we also go and build tools on the app. It's really fun. People love it. So you can do it that way. And then you can also find me at Instagram, CEO Justin Burns on Instagram. And I usually post about AI and all that type of stuff on there too.
My brother, I appreciate you for coming on here. This is definitely one of one episode for me. And I appreciate each and every single one of you guys at home. If you haven't already, what are you doing? Take a second, take a minute, take an hour out of your day right here, right now to go ahead, hit that like button, show the episode some love, tell a friend to come back, rewatch it again. And as always, make sure you get tapped in and wrapped in with any and all things that Justin has going on with everything in the artificial intelligence space. As always, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Marvin Francois. This is the always incredible Mr. Justin Burns. You guys have been good. We've been great. This has been amazing. Thank you all. God bless. And until next time, peace.